Hello, alles klar. Yeah, I'm Philipp Meyer. I'm talking today about Osmo MGW, MGCP, and how it's used. So this is obviously about media gateways to a large extent. So we first have a look at media gateways and see what that really is. Media gateways, so to say, is vastly comparable with the switchboard. So really with the ancient type switchboards. It's some kind of a passive component that that relies on a call agent that could be some PBX, or in our case, the MSC or BSC that controls it, that instructs the media gateway to switch the calls. So there's the media gateway usually doesn't have any own switching intelligence, so it doesn't know which calls are related how they are routed, so that has to be communicated from the outside to the media gateway. And there are typical protocols for that. One very common protocol is the MGCP. That's the media gateway control protocol. And it consists really of two protocols that are put together. So usually starts with an MGCP header, and after that an SDP header, an SDP message part follows. So basically, you should know. Probably you already know the SDP from SIP. That's the same thing. It's an IETF standard since 2003, and there were two successors of it. That was the SGCP, Simple Gateway Control Protocol, and the IPDC. So it has its roots there and at Baycore and Cisco and Level 3. And the MGCP was then specified later by M. Handley and V. Jacobson in RFC 2327 in April 1998. And I've also put the ETF standard links in the slides if you want to have a closer look. MGCP is a protocol that consists of requests and responses. So usually the call agent is the absolute master and controls the media gateway by sending it MGCP requests, and then the media gateway responds. It does it in an HTTP-like fashion. So if your request was successful, it responds with something like 200 OK in the header, and then results follow. The protocol itself is text-based. It's a non-binary protocol. However, there are situations where the media gateway itself may send messages to the call agent, but that has to be specifically requested beforehand. The request defines the action that the media gateway shall perform, and the media gateway then executes it. An MGCP message consists about command verbs. The three most important ones, and that's kind of crucial because basically you can already, if you implement these three, you already have a very capable switch implemented. So the CRCX command stands for create connection. So that's when you create a connection on the media gateway. I will have a flow diagram later, but it creates the connection, and in some cases you may want to modify the connection afterwards because maybe some connection details changed, some port or so, or some IP address, think of handover. Then you have the MDCX, which stands for modify connection, that would modify the connection, and you can basically change connection details. And in the end, you would terminate the connection with a DLCX, so that basically deletes the connection from the media gateway again. Media gateways are organized, usually organized in endpoints and connections. So when you create a connection, usually do it on an endpoint, which is a limited resource on the media gateway. Classically, an endpoint would relate to an E1 a time slot, for example, or to a POTS line. And in our case, since we are switching RTP streams, we have some sort of virtual endpoints, a number you can set via the VTY. And this is a resource where you can create a connection on. So you would start by first connecting the first connection, and then somewhat later you would create the second connection. So in our case, that might be the first connection might be the one that handles the BTS side. That would be the RTP stream between BTS and media gateway. And then a few hundred milliseconds later, you would create the connection that goes that points towards the core network. And since there are these two are residing on the same endpoint, they are implicitly connected. And yeah, basically, once you are done, you would delete the two connections again, and the endpoint would be free for the next call. Here I also put the example of Osmo BSC. This is the flow diagram I mentioned beforehand. So this is basically the flow, how a typical MGCP session would look like. So you would start with your CRCX command. In this case, I specified an endpoint. I could also use the star C thing. So you see here the one at MGW. That's basically an endpoint specification followed by an URL. So this is basically very, very short here, but it should be valid. And the one is the endpoint number, and the MGW is the URL. So I have chosen the first endpoint on my MGW to where I wanted to create the connection. And our MGW meanwhile supports also that I could place a star here, and it would be basically mean give me any of your free endpoints. But in this case, I specified it. And yeah, then it creates the connection and reports with an IP port. So that's local IP and port on the media gateway, where the media gateway expects an incoming RTP stream. And with the MDCX, then I can modify that connection and basically tell the remaining connection details, where I expect the MGW send the RTP stream to me, the call agent. And then I can also create a second connection on the same endpoint. So these are then implicitly connected together. And I also have the possibility to basically directly tell with the CRCX my local connection details to the media gateway, basically to create the connection one go. Sometimes I don't have the connection details handy when I create the connection, so I get hold of them later. So I basically give the connection details to the media gateway at a later point. And once I'm done with the call, I delete the connection again, and that removes all the connections on the media gateway endpoint. And yeah, we have our own media gateway in the Osmo call world. That's the Osmo MGW. And It's relatively new. It's around since since 2007, since the split exists. It existed beforehand. Exists a predecessor. It was the Osmo BSCM GCP that was kind of a more limited media gateway that was used in a special setup of a customer, I think. And yeah, it was with the Osmo BSC, with the SCP Lite version, and it had kind of a very weird endpoint relationship between between the endpoint and the BTS. That was a little weird. So these hacks were now removed. So it's now a full endpoint which can handle two connections per endpoint. And it sadly temporarily removes the Osmux, which some of you may be familiar with, but that's planned to be reintroduced again. And we also improved recently the handling of the codec information. So that was a problem for in the beginning. The media gateway didn't handle the codec negotiation properly, so now it does. The codec negotiation actually plays a big role in GSM networks everywhere, also on the A interface. There's always a codec negotiation going on that selects the codec, and of course the media gateway also has to know the codec because it may have to do transcoding at some point. We are not supporting transcoding yet, but of course knowing which codec is spoken is an important thing. Also for some other details, patching the payload type numbers. You may use different payload type numbers on each of these connection, but that would go too deep into detail. Osmo MGW comes with its own library to control it. So it's the Osmo MGCP client. It's a library you can link to your application, and it's also, of course, linked to Osmo BSC and Osmo MSC. And that's basically a client you can build into your application, and then you don't have to worry about how to format the MGCP message exactly. And basically, you control the media gateway on an abstract level from an API. But that's more of an internal detail of Osmo BSC and Osmo MSC. As long as you don't plan to program your own call agent application, you would most likely not get too much in contact with that. The Osmo MGW, of course, needs to be configured, and that's done in the usual way via VTY. And basically you tell it the bind IP, that's where the MGCP protocol, where the MGW listens for the MGCP incoming MGCP requests. That's in this example, it's localhost. And then you also can specify an RTP IP address, which basically specifies on which interface primarily the RTP protocol is spoken. That may be different, as you can see. I have a localhost IP for the MGCP. So the reason for this is just because I run the BSC MSC on my local machine, so I don't need to give it an external IP, but this one is external because my base station is external, and so RTP needs to be spoken on some external IP address. And there are some important features. It's called IP probing, because there may be situations where you have, let's say, for example, two external interfaces. On one is the BTS, on one is the interface that points to your core network. And since you only can specify a primary binding IP for RTP, you can enable that the MGW. Selects the correct interface. It will probe which is the right interface where I have to open a port to do the RTP connection, and that's the RTP probing. And then we have a a bind port, which is where the MGCP protocol is where it listens for incoming MGCP messages. And yeah, basically this is where the standard is 2427. In this example, I have 2428 because I usually use two MGW instances, so I have 28 in this config, but standard would be 2427. And then you define a number of endpoints. For a normal laboratory installation, 30 is way enough. And yeah, that's our configuration. And now we will look at some practical applications which can be kind of interesting. In this diagram, we have an BSS site modeled. We see the BSC. And now we can also see the relation that the MGW has in all this setup. So it's here in this case, it's BSC co-located. You would, in the core network, you would have another MGW that is then MSC co-located. You see there, you find these media gateway in lots of location of your network. Even after the core network in the PBX, there may be another media gateway. And what it basically does here on the BSC side is isolating the BTS from the core network. So the problem starts once you do handover. Of course, you could, with the single BTS, you could basically, via IBIS ISL, you could instruct the BTS to send the RTP stream directly down into the core network. But then you wouldn't be able to handover because on the A interface, you can only do the negotiation with port IP, A over IP transport identifier. You can only do that once. You send your assignment request, and then you get your assignment complete, if you are lucky, and then you have negotiated IP and port. And if you would change to another BTS afterwards, then it wouldn't work anymore. So you need your media gateway. So during handover, this part here stays the same all the time here, and the RTP stream between the base station is switched when the handover is done. And that's basically the isolation core network BTS. And that's a very important thing. And you also could, if the MGW would support that, you would be able, in theory, to transcode. So, and then there's another thing that got recently introduced in Osmo BSC. That's called local core, local switch. So when you discover that two mobile stations are in the same network, on the same BSS, served by the same BSC, for like in this example, you don't necessarily have to route the RTP stream down to the core network through the PBX, maybe across several countries, and then back again. Think of roaming. So these RTP streams can come a long way. So what you do is basically, in the BSC, there's a logic implemented that detects that these two are belonging together. And then via MGCP, it instructs the MGW to basically to short circuit the RTP stream right at the MGW here. And then the RTP stream only has to travel down to the MGW, goes to this loop, and goes to the other client. Yeah, and from the BTS point of view, nothing changes. So the BTSs will not be touched RTP configuration-wise, so they still send their stream down here and get it back a little quicker. And of course, this loop can be broken at any time by our A interface control messages, but that would be too much detail. Yeah, then we also should look at a bit more in the core network. So there you would find an MSC co-located MGW, and this basically when the MSC, it's also kind of an isolation purpose. When the MSC is controlled by NCC and calls are set up, so you basically want to keep that constant as well once you've done the negotiation via SIP, because there may be an inter-BSC handover, so the call may travel to a completely different BSC and that might have a different co-located MGW. And so that's again the same, kind of the same problem as the as with the BTSs. So it's again about isolation a bit. And yeah, of course, all the negotiation that is done via the A interface, the IP address that's done also on the MGCP interface, there are the equivalent messages sent to create the two connections that match what is negotiated on the A interface. And then basically the stream coming from the BSS is then routed down to your PBX or whatever is there, or in the public phone network. Yeah, and of course in the future, the Osmo MGW will hopefully provide transcoding. And then we also should mention a single MGW configuration that may be interesting for lab setups or for cases where you have everything on one machine. So normally you would place two MGW instances next to each other, one for the BSC and one for the MSC. But however, you can do it only with one MGW as well. So you would the configuration is quite simple. You basically just instruct via the VTY config, you configure in these two instances the IP addresses of the and ports of the MGW. And these two, they don't really know, they are not really aware of that they are using the same MGW. They just issue MGCP requests to somewhere and get responses back. And this works since we have introduced a feature that is, that allows the user to request for dynamic endpoints. So as I mentioned earlier, you don't have to start the connection with some specified endpoint. You can also put a star there, a wildcard, and then the MGW reserves the resource for you, and that's done here. So they're just requesting resources and getting endpoints back, whatever is free. However, it's for debugging, it's not a very desirable setup, because when you configure it that way, the debugging with Wireshark might be a little more difficult, because it's no longer separated. The destination port for the MGCP message is the same, and so on. However, yeah, still can define filters, that's still possible, but I like it separated with separate port numbers, so I can filter more easily. Yeah, and there are also more exotic topologies, syncable. I don't go too much into detail, but that's basically with the Osmo MGCP, where the RTP stream is routed along here, and the EPA multiplex along with the SCCP light and MGCP message goes through an EPA multiplex, and here it's separated. That's just an idea to how complex that can get. It's fortunately not that complex at the moment with Osmo MGW. I don't know if Osmo MGW can presumably not handle the EPA multiplex, but yeah. So that's it. Other questions?
Are there other open source implementations of GW, and have you tested against them?
You mean other implementations of other media gateways?
Yes.
I'm not that I'm aware of. Testing is done at the moment using TTCNC, so there's the TTCNC test suite for Osmo MGW that checks the most important things. But of course, our implementation of the media gateway is not complete, so the standard also has lots of room for extensions. So we are only implementing the subsets that we need to serve BSC and MSC.
Philip, how far are we from having transcoding back and maybe Osmux also?
It's actually not that far away, I would think, because the infrastructure to do it is there. We have the codec negotiation fixed, so we know which codec is spoken on which side. So I think it's at the moment it's only just adding a callback that is executed once an RTP frame is received, and then it will get transcoded and sent out on the other end. But I think the infrastructure to reintroduce this is there now. Osmux is a little more difficult, I think, because that requires the multiplexing, and that would be something like a different endpoint, like a different trunk, so to say. The endpoints are organized in trunks. I forgot to mention that, but you would have different trunks, then you would have your Osmux trunk. And that is not implemented at the moment.
One of the problems with introducing Osmux into this is not necessarily the implementation effort, but it's really coming up with a way how to represent something that is not just a single RTP endpoint, but actually something like a sub endpoint or whatever inside this Osmux. So actually what has to be first designed or drafted or specified is how can we express the concept of a Osmux slot in MGCP, in the MGCP syntax, and within the architecture of how MGCP works. And I think once that's sorted out, yeah, it needs to be implemented for sure, but I think that's, at least from my point of view, is the hard part that I think nobody has spent the time to really think about this yet.
Have you implemented the AMR mod sets?
The AMR what?
Mod sets, meaning you have 8 mods for AMR, and you can you need to make sure that the BTS is going to transmit with the same mode that actually the MSC is going to, or the media gateway, which is on your side, is going to expect.
I see.
Usually the mode set is part of the SDP, and you have also the difference between octet align and non-octet align, which can also make a difference.
I don't think that is implemented at the moment. I have to look up the mode set part. We have a similar problem on the A interface at the moment, which is soon be fixed. That's communicated with the S0 to S15 bits. That's the configuration bits for the AMR codec, which basically define policies for the active set. And yes, I think that has to be communicated to the media gateway as well somehow, and I think that's what you are referring to. Thanks for pointing me at that thing. I will have a look at the spec and see what can be done about this.
I think regarding that particular issue, I would assume that all the signaling really happens in the signaling plane. So in a sense that the MSC and the BSC in their A interface signaling, they define exactly what's the permitted mode set by these S bits that gets communicated to the BTS on the ABIS side by RSL mode modify or the during the channel activation. And then in the end, the media gateway doesn't really care what's inside the RTP packets from left to right.
No, but it can care about the, as the mode set is indicated in the SDP, you need to make sure that the SDP is going to be filtered so that the, it's only the right mode set which is going to be sent to the over media gateway. Otherwise, the BTS is going to receive, let's say, AMR 12.2 when it's sending, it's actually configured for 5.9.
Yeah, I can imagine a situation where you have a call from one MSC domain to the other MSC domain, and on one side it was agreed on one active set, and the active set have different codecs, and you have to make sure that if a codec is transmitted that's not in the active set of the destination, you probably need to transcode it somehow to something that fits. I think that's what you mean, right?